This is Equestrian Legacy Radio. Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today on Equestrian Legacy Radio, we'll be visiting with singer-songwriter Joni Harms around the Campfire Cafe. Jessica Lebeck will join us from the TWHBEA World Versatility Show in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and we'll visit with Shannon Schraffnagel and Dawn Everson to learn about horses healing people. Today's show is made possible by our sponsors at the General Store and the gallery at East of Santa Fe. You'll find everything for the horse lover and those that love the equestrian lifestyle in the gallery at East of Santa Fe and at the General Store at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking with Joni Harms.
Grandpa Harms built this homestead with hard-working hands. He knew he'd found a piece of heaven when he first looked on this land. He knew that it wouldn't be easy, but the harder it got, the more he gladly do the work of ten if need be, that another man would surely walk away, never in harm's way. He and Grandma raised a family the same way they raised their crops, with tenderness and patience and love that never stops. It was mighty hard work around the harvest, picking apples, cutting wood and hauling hay, gathering up the goods out of the garden, 'cause absolutely nothing went to waste. In the evenings we'd gather around the table after a hard work day was done, giving thanks that we are able, and there's plenty enough for everyone. Took a walk on Sunday morning and smelled the new plowed earth, remembering how Grandpa loved to watch the soil give birth. And sometimes it still isn't easy, but the tougher it gets, the more I pray. Sometimes it feels like he's here walking with, when I'm just about to quit, I hear him say, never in harm's way. No, never in harm's way. Girl, you know that ain't harm's way.
Joni Harms is a multi-award-winning singer-songwriter and a fifth-generation guardian of a century ranch in Canby, Oregon. Joni, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary. Thank you so much. It's great being able to have some time with you today.
Well, always enjoy talking with you. You're one of my favorite people. And in addition to being a terrific singer and songwriter, you're just a super, super lady. And so we're really excited to introduce you to our audience and reintroduce you to some of the folks that are listening out there. This song, Harm's Way, that we just played, is a pretty special song, and I think that talks a little bit about your family background and history. Could you share that with us?
It pretty much tells everything that you need to know about my background right in there. I mean, my father was in World War II, and my great-great-grandfather rode a boat from Germany to New York and was just kind of like a water boy or whatever he had to do on there, and it took months, not weeks, to get across. And then he traveled clear to Oregon and saw this piece of property and knew why he had come so far and homesteaded right here. And what an honor it really is to still be able to call this place home.
Well, it's great history to be a fifth generation there. Tell us a little bit about the ranch, and is it a real working ranch?
Yes, we have. It surely is. We've got cow-calf operation here, and so we have our cattle, and you know, it's just I'm very fortunate in the children that I have. My son has just somehow or another got that passion that I would say some of my past, you know, grandparents and things, Harms family, that just love the ranching. He just has that passion, and he gets up every morning. This summer has been haying and taking care of the wheat and certainly taking care of the cattle, and he just loves it. So I feel fairly sure there'll be a sixth generation out here with Luke. And then my daughter Olivia loves music and has recorded her first CD and has been touring a lot with me this summer, playing a lot of music, writing a lot of songs, and so she, you know, she's kind of carrying on the music side. So it's really, really neat. My you know, it's in, I have a little museum thing, Gary, here on the ranch in the house here that kind of holds a lot of the interesting pieces and things that have been here for all those years. And one of the areas I have solely dedicated to instruments so my musical just abilities, I guess, if you will, go back through all the years. My father was wonderful on the concertina. When he was in the war, he picked up a concertina accordion in Germany and just played the heck out of that. And before that, there's zithers and flutes and all kinds of various, certainly harmonicas, things that the Harms family, at the end of a long, hard day of work, would come in and make some music, I guess.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well,
yeah.
And since you mentioned Olivia, and such a pretty girl she is, I think she took after her rodeo queen mother. you know, we need to get her on the show and visit with her one day and play some music from that new CD that she has out. That would be just a lot of fun.
She would truly love that. She'll be going back for her second year at Oregon State University this fall, and she certainly has a passion for this place, too. In fact, her what she's majoring in is architecture there, and Oregon State University is known for having a great ag program. And so both the kids really understand what this place is all about and the history of it and how important it is to keep the farmers and ranchers around.
Well, it is.
Feed
and,
everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that our farmers and our ranchers are facing a lot of challenges today. And if you've only seen food in a grocery store and not where it actually comes from, I think people miss out a lot and really don't understand the challenges and the hardships that our ranchers and farmers have to deal with, both with the weather and the economy and regulations that are imposed on folks.
Very, very true. Well said.
Yeah. But, you know, I was reading something the last day or two, and one of your albums that you did featured a lot of, in the cover, you had a lot of photographs of the Harms family history. And which album, which CD was that?
Well, goodness, you know, I've tried to have tidbits of that in all of them, but my latest, From Oregon to Ireland, even behind the CDs, I have pictures of the ranch. My Cowgirl Dreams album that I did for Warner Brothers certainly has a taste of it, and then of course, Harm's Way, you know, shows it. But I really feel as important as people know and like and hopefully like in the music, and because I write 99% of my songs, that it's important for them to see, not just hear about it, but see where I come from. So I've always kind of made an effort to have some photos taken out here on the ranch. Harm's Way has probably the most really, there's a whole book dedicated to photos inside of the CD jacket that are from out here. Everything from showing, you know, the canning fruit cellar, as they always called it, where there's a line in that song we just heard, called Absolutely Nothing Went to Waste, and that is, it was so true. They, you know, they had a place for all the canning, and a lot of the, you could store apples in there. You pick them in the fall, and they'd go clear into January, February of the fall, you know, following months later in the new year, still being able to use those apples. It just kept them cool and crisp, and walnuts and different things they'd store in there, and just because I try to remind myself how tough things really were then, I don't get to do as much as I might want to, but I try to do a little canning every year or two and just keep some jars of fruit and maybe green beans or dill pickles, things like that, out in that fruit cellar so that kind of part of the history can be carried on as well.
Oh, wow, that's great. You know, just talking about the pickles, I read an interesting fact the other day. People that travel the Oregon Trail, you know, keeping their diet where it needed to be was something that was kind of important. And I discovered they ate a lot of pickles on the trail because they got a lot of vitamin C from it, and that stuff was easy to preserve. So, yeah, just a little interesting piece of trivia right there.
Canning has almost become a lost art, too. I tell people once in a while that I still try to do a little of that, and you know, they don't really, just like you were saying a few minutes ago, that people don't understand what really farmers and ranchers do. If you said that you put up fruit or vegetables to have them to feed your family throughout the year, they really wouldn't know what a mason jar and you know, those kinds of things were really all about.
Well, that's true. I think the only time they know what a mason jar is if they go to a Cracker Barrel and they might get to drink some tea out of one, or, you know, but that's kind of bad. But you also had a lot of experience and background with horses and rodeo, and I think all of that
absolutely
kind of comes into your music and the way that you write. So, you know, we talked about the fact that you were a rodeo queen for a while. So how was rodeo for you growing up?
Well, it really shaped me into who I am, Gary. I did probably 4 or 5 at least years of local rodeos, and then I went on, believe it or not, to be Miss Northwest Rodeo and runner-up for Miss Rodeo America. So I ran the full gamut with it, but it was just really helping me with my music so much. I'd get out around those rodeo folks and sing my songs, and boy, you know, if they liked you as a person already, once they found out you could sing and you know, wanted to make that happen and help build knowledge of rodeo through some of my music, boy, those people would have me back again and again, just in support any way they could to help me. And so, you know, I did bill racing and some of those things, but really the majority of my time, I just saw the advantage that it could give me of being able to not only go and make an appearance as a rodeo queen, but then I would usually sing the national anthem or sing at one of their functions, if not the rodeo dance that evening or something. So, you know, just great, great years and met so many great people that supported my music and really, really helped me continue on with it.
Well, that's terrific. And that kind of lifestyle, I think, really has influenced everything that you do. We want to talk a little bit about the new CD, the Oregon to Ireland, but right now I'd like to take a break and play a song that's called He's More Than Your Eyes Can See, and it was written by you and Wood Newton. Is there any story behind this song?
Oh, there's a story behind every one of my songs, Gary. I love being able to share them, too. But, yes, absolutely. My dad always told me that you never were to judge a person by the way they looked, and get to know what they're all about inside, because certainly a lot of the farmers weren't the most wealthy folks and maybe didn't have a big extensive clothing line, but they were solid as a rock, and if you needed help, boy, they were right there for you. And so, you know, I always thought about that, and I kind of got the idea for that song, and it turned out to be one that I get a lot of requests for. People really seem to enjoy it, and I love to share it. So He's More Than Your Eyes Can See.
All right, well, we're talking with Joni Harms. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Joni.
He's more than your eyes can see. His rough, calloused hands hold me tenderly. With a heart the size of Texas, he'd do anything for me. And he's more than your eyes can see. Last night when I was with him, I saw your disapproving stare. If you weren't such a good friend, I wouldn't even care. Oh, I know you think you know just what I'm looking for, but I've let you fix me up a dozen times before. But he's more than your eyes can see. His rough, calloused hands hold me tenderly. With a heart the size of Texas, he'd do anything for me. And he's more than your eyes can see.
faded blue Wranglers, old flannel shirts. Most of the time his pickup shows a little dirt. He's got a faithful border collie always by his side, and a horse that he calls partner fills his heart with pride. And he's more than your eyes can see. His rough, calloused hands hold me tenderly. With a heart the size of Texas, he'd do anything for me. And he's more than your eyes can see. He's got a heart the size of Texas, he'd do anything for me. And he's more than your eyes can see.
That's More Than Your Eyes Can See, and we're talking with Joni Harms, and I've had so many calls that have come in, I've lost your number. Joni, is this you on the phone?
Yes, it is.
All right. I had to pick one. I thought I had the right area code there, so we've got about another three or four callers that are on the line in addition.
Great.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. But we want to talk just a little bit about this new CD, Oregon to Ireland. And you know, one of the things that you and I have talked about before is the fact that you travel and tour a lot here in the States, but you also spend a lot of time out of the country. And how did that come about?
Well, really, I give thanks to Jimmy Bowen and Capitol Records in the early 90s for getting some of my music out to Europe and Australia and New Zealand, all the different countries, because they, you know, they were really putting out a good promotion at that time worldwide. And so I was blessed to be able to get exposure with those folks. And then when I had the Cowgirl Dreams, Warner Brothers put out that CD, it happened again. And I think I really maybe struck a nerve with some of those folks that love the traditional sounds of Western or country music over there. And I started getting emails and inquiries about touring over there and playing some music. And I certainly, as scary as it was the first time to head over, I just found a whole new batch of fans and friends. And so, yes, I have really enjoyed at least a couple times a year usually doing some tours out of the country. And interestingly enough, I was going to be in France and a couple other places a couple years ago in February, and it was like December, and I got this email from this Tom Sheeran guy, and he said, I'm in Ireland, and my folks are huge fans of yours. We're planning a 50th wedding anniversary for them, and we were hoping that maybe you could add a trip to Ireland onto your Europe trip. And
wow.
So he told me some more about it, and I said, you know, sounds like fun. And he said, well, we'd have you come and play with our family band. And I thought, oh, boy, this ought to be interesting, a family band. You know, there you go again, kind of like with the He's More Than Your Eyes Can See. You go judging by thinking, well, they probably aren't very good. Well, right. Boy, did they surprise me. I thought, well, for the 50th wedding anniversary, that touched my heart because I had helped celebrate my folks' 50th. And so I thought, you know, their heart's in the right spot. I've never been to Ireland. Let's just do it. Well, that led to me coming back again in last July, a year ago July, and doing this live album from Oregon to Ireland with them. And, you know, it was so much fun to put together. It was certainly a labor of love getting it all finalized, and we're just finally now releasing it. So it took almost a year to get everything done. And I have no Irish background. I'm Norwegian and German, but it just happened. And they are a fabulous group of people, great musicians, and I think that the album is certainly one of the best that I've been able to do so far. I'm very proud of it.
Well, it is a great album. It's got 22 tremendous songs on it. The cover for this album is beautiful. It's got for folks that may not have seen the CD yet, it's got a photograph of you in Oregon with your horse and your dogs, and then it's got a beautiful photograph of you in Ireland with some of the stone structures that are there, and just a gorgeous cover. But the music is fantastic, and I'm looking at the back cover of this, and I guess this is the Sharon Family Band with you, and it looks like there are about seven of them on there. So,
yeah,
tell us a little bit about these guys.
Well, you know, they don't play as a band as a rule because, you know, that's too many people to be able to find work that would pay enough. So they all have separate bands. A couple of them own studios. Danny Sharon goes around all over Europe doing harmonies and help produce records for all kinds of music, not solely country. They all are very, very, very talented. The gentleman that plays steel guitar also plays the lead guitar, and he was just amazing to watch him switch from one to the other on stage, you know, because I have a lot of steel guitar on my music, and yet he covered that and still got in there a lot of the lead licks. So they just, I mean, they're exceptional. I've worked many times with all the best of the folks. I've had the pleasure of working with the best of folks in Nashville. And these guys are right up there with them. They really are. I can't say enough. And so it's just so much fun, as you can see in that picture, actually. Doesn't look like we're having any fun together, does it?
I don't know that I've seen you with a bigger smile on your face at any time. But, yeah, it looked like you're having a ball. And I've got a little Irish in me, so I enjoy that Irish music, and I sure enjoy the CD. There's a song from the CD, and I think you have already figured me out, and you know one of my favorite songs on the CD is Blue Montana Moon. And we want to take a moment and listen to that, and we want to come back and talk some more with Joni Harms on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Fill all my dreams and give
over him tonight. I'm coming home on that old midnight flight. These big city lights sure don't shine as bright as you, blue Montana moon.
That's Blue Montana Moon from Joni Harm's CD, From Oregon to Ireland, and I think our listeners out there can understand why that's one of my favorite songs, Joni. That's just beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. I was just in Montana last week and was reminded again how that song could come about. That's just a beautiful blue sky, gorgeous, gorgeous state. I love to go visit.
Well, it is beautiful country that I have yet to see, and of course, you know, Oregon is on my bucket list. So,
well, you've got a personal escort in Oregon. I'd be happy to take and show you around.
Well, I'm looking forward to doing that. You know, this has been a quick half hour, and time always.
It did go by fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It's, you know, when you're having fun and talking with somebody that you enjoy talking to that's interesting, it kind of flies by, and that's always the case when we're visiting with you. Let me ask Joni, where can we buy the CD? How can we get your music?
Well, I've got 13 of them now available on www.joniharms.com. And so I like to have folks get it there because I, as I said earlier, I take a lot of pride in the presentation of the CD and the booklet that I put in there. A lot of times I have the lyrics in there. And so I think, you know, and if anybody ever wanted me to autograph it or anything, happy to do that. So you can certainly get them off my website. But PayPal and iTunes and CD Baby and all that stuff, you can get it as well. Pandora even has some of my music to listen to now. So there's several ways of getting a hold of it, and I bet you that if somebody called in, you would steer them in a direction to find it as well.
You better believe that I will. So great music. I enjoy all of your songs. And this is, of course, the latest release from Oregon to Ireland, and it's beautiful, beautiful music on there. And Joni, I know that you have a album release party that's coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that, where it is and when is it?
This Sunday, and of course it's in my hometown, Canby, Oregon, at St. Joseph's Winery. And they have a beautiful pond out there. It's going to be an outdoor evening show. So we'll have won't have the Sharon Family Band, but we'll have the Harm's Way Band, which is my guys from here, and they're fabulous. So certainly we would love to invite anybody to come out there. But I do have a tour schedule, and you know, you can go to the website and hear sound bites from all the CDs. There's also videos on there, and, you know, we try to pretty much keep a little of everything available to the folks on there. So my name's a little different spelling. It's J-O-N-I-H-A-R-M-S. But if folks will go check that out, hopefully they'll find whatever they might need.
Well, I'd encourage people to do that and visit joniharms.com, pick up her music. And Joni, as always, it is so much fun to talk to you. We love you. We love your music and look forward to having you back. And we'll have to get Olivia on the show as well.
That'd be great, Gary. And thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Talk with you soon.
Okay.
All right, we've enjoyed talking with Joni. We've got a lot of folks to visit with today, so we're going to go from Oregon to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and talk with folks at the World Versatility Show. We remind you that this program is brought to you by our great sponsors in the General Store and at the gallery at East of Santa Fe. Visit them at equestrianlegacy.net. And when we come back, we'll be in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Was the new kid on the circuit. boy proudly called the girl back home, hoping she would be impressed. But her mama said she married the guy who used to call his friend. And before the first tear could fall, these words came back again.
You better cowboy up when you get so down. Get right back in the saddle.
Cowboy up, and we're going to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where they are cowboying up over there with the World Versatility Show. And Jesse LeBeck is the Vice President of the Pleasure Division with Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association and is at the World Versatility Show. And Jesse sent me a message and said she may be on horseback when we get started, but Linda Starnes would be there. So who do we have on the line?
So far, Linda Starnes is here.
Hey, Linda, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful.
Good, good. Well, to help me out, what area code are you calling from?
Well, I've got somebody's cell phone, and I'm not sure what area code this is.
Okay,
they handed me a phone instead of here.
All right. Well, I've got about three lines opened up, and I didn't know which
okay.
one you were. So
the other two will know who they are.
618 is mine. What's yours? 816.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got this figured out. So we've got all of the lines opened up, and I know we've got some folks that are there participating. But Linda, let's chat with you just a little bit first, and then you can introduce the folks that are on the call with us. But I know that you have been actively involved with the Versatility Program for a number of years. I think you started when you were two.
No, probably so. Probably so. But whenever it started, I've been at every World Versatility Show since its inception. So.
Well, do you know how long that's been going on?
Well, I'm thinking this could be 14 or 15 years.
Okay. All right.
I may get confirmation on that, but I should know, but I wasn't prepared for that question.
Well, that's all right.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, well, you never know what I might ask, but let's talk a little bit about what the World Versatility Show is. What is the Versatility Program?
This is the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association World Versatility Show, and it is a show for registered Tennessee walking horses, and all riders have to be a member of the TWHBEA.
Okay.
And all the horses have to be registered Tennessee walking horses, and it's to show that our walking horses can do absolutely anything any other horse could do. We've already done Hunter Hack and TWH over fences this morning. We're in the middle of dressage, which is where Jesse is right now. Tonight we have speed events. We have stake race, barrels, and poles. Tomorrow is stock seat equitation, western riding, reining, and my favorite is obstacle trail. And then there's obstacle driving. Then we have rail classes Friday night. Saturday has model and walking seat equitation, and then we have game classes for egg and seam, water glass, and ride a buck. So we just have a little bit of everything.
Okay, all right, and we're getting just a little bit of feedback on your end. I don't know whether there's a mic open or something where people are listening, but anyway, let's
can get further apart from each other.
Yeah, y'all may be doing a little feedback thing. Tell me a little bit about, do you know how the versatility program got started?
That would be a good question. As far as maybe in the 1980s, that there were some people on the Pleasure Horse Committee that really thought we should have a versatility program that included a High Point Award, like we're going for our Youth Superior or Adult Supreme, so you can have a annual High Point Award, but then there's also an award for completing a whole bunch of different classes and getting points. So this World Versatility Show kind of came out from the people that, you know, really did like doing the versatility events, and then we all wanted to come together and see each other. And it's a competition, but we're all really good friends, and we all want each other to do our absolute best.
Okay. All right. And how long have you been participating in versatility yourself?
I believe 1990-something.
Okay.
Well,
right.
Because I started with my kids before I started, and my son was the first youth superior champion from Kentucky, and that was in 95, I believe. So ever since then, long time.
Okay. Well, and again, you've come from Kentucky to participate in this event. Who else do you have with you there?
Okay, I will let, we have a youth rider, and I'll let her tell her name and how old she is and where she's from.
Okay.
Your turn, Mia. Go.
I'm Mia Walker, and I live in Garden City, south of Kansas City.
Wow.
And I'm 10 years old.
Oh, wow. Well, welcome to Tennessee, and Mia, when... how long have you been participating in versatility?
3 years. About 3 years.
Wow, wow, wow. So started at 7. And what was it that caused you to be interested in the versatility program?
I just wanted to come down and have fun with my horse, and she likes to do it, and all my friends are down here to do it too, so.
All right. Do you have a favorite activity that you like to participate in?
Yeah, barrels and poles.
Barrels and poles. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Somebody told me one time that the young folks like the speed classes and old folks like me like the rail classes. So that's pretty exciting. So how long have you been doing the barrels and the poles? Since you were 7?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
what
I
is
think
what?
So, since
what,
I was 7.
All right, what's your horse's name?
Lily.
Lily?
What's her registered name?
Millennium Silver Miss.
There
okay.
you go.
Well, does your horse have a favorite activity? Like poles better or barrels better, do you think?
She loves poles and barrels. She, like, loves to run them.
Okay, all right. And who else do we have, Linda?
We have Jody, and I'll let her tell who she is and where she's from and her favorite things.
All right. Hey, Jody.
Hello. Good afternoon or morning. I'm not sure what time it is. Since we're at the horse show, it all escapes me. My name is Jody Dedeca-Bubar, and I am from Marissa, Illinois, which is south of St. Louis.
Okay. And how long have you been participating in versatility?
I've been participating in versatility since about 2007. I had an opportunity to come down to the World Show with some neighbors that had been in it for a few years and got interested and excited in it, and then was able to purchase my first registered Tennessee walking horse, and that's where I've been from now on.
All right. Well, that's exciting. Well, we're going to take just a real quick break. We're going to play another song by Joni Harms that's called Saddle Blanket, and you guys listen to this and tell me if you can relate when we come back. And when we come back to talk with you again, I want to talk a little bit about how much time that it takes to get yourself and your horses ready to participate in a national event like the World Versatility Show. But right now we're going to listen to Saddle Blanket by Joni Harms. This is Equestrian Legacy Radio.
See if Joni gets it ready here.
That's Joni Harms, Saddle Blanket, and we're at in Murfreesboro, Tennessee at the World Versatility Show, and we're talking with Linda and Mia and Jody. And Jody, we didn't get to talk with you very much. What type of events are your favorite events, and do you have one horse that you participate with or a couple?
I have one horse that I participate with. I would have to say my favorite event, though, is just coming down here. Everybody is so supportive, and it's fun. I wasn't exactly, versatile with the versatility show and knowing the rules and that, and kind of came down here, and everybody who didn't know me, you know, helped me out and made sure I was squared away, which was really big. You know, sometimes you go to places and you're the odd man out, and it's hard to get a grasp on what's going on, but everybody's been so welcoming down here and helpful that it's made me come back year after year, and now it's kind of like our horse show vacation time.
Right. Well, it's almost a homecoming for a lot of folks, I would think. What classes or events do you participate in?
We actually participate. The great thing about our wonderful walking horses is they're so versatile of a breed. I do dressage, barrels and poles, and then we go right into the rail classes, equitation, you know, anything. That's a nice thing. I don't have to have four different horses to do all the events I enjoy. I can have one horse and, you know, be competitive in all of the events. And that's what's great. You know, if you don't have the money to have four or five horses, you can still be competitive in everything that you want to be competitive in.
Well, that's great. And again, welcome from Illinois to Tennessee. And Linda, let's talk a little bit about the dates for the show.
Okay. And actually, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that, number one, it's about 10 years where an optimum horse is to be a really good versatility horse. And, you know, that's 10 years seems like my magic number. But I am going to be able to toss the phone over to Jessie. She has just gotten off a horse, and she's ready for you.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks, Linda. Appreciate it.
Good talking to you.
Good talk to you.
Hello.
Hey, Jessie. How are you?
I'm good. I just came out of the ring.
Well, we had Craig Cameron on the show about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And they got a little confused on the time for the show, and they had to run get him, and he was on a horse and came running in all out of breath. So that happens when we talk with horse folks. But so what event were you just participating in?
I just rode the training level dressage test.
Okay. All right. And what else is lined up for the rest of the day?
Today we've got another dressage test in the traditional English dressage attire, and that's a first level test, which this is actually the first year that we have had a first level, so that's a little bit higher up the chain of difficulty. And after that we have two Western dressage tests, which this is the second year that we have had that at the show. There's an intro test for that and a training level test for that.
All right. Tonight
we are running games.
All right. So when you say you're running games, you're doing what? Barrels and poles?
We've got barrels, poles, and the stake race. And we've got that for 11 and under kids, youth that are 12 to 17, and also the adults.
All right, so it sounds like this is something that people of all ages can get involved in and participate in. You know, we started to talk, and first of all, I was asking about the dates on this. So the World Versatility Show started today, and it runs through Saturday. That's the 24th through the 26th, and it is at the beautiful Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And for folks that might have a question, it is air-conditioned there.
It is.
And so we have a pretty comfortable day weather-wise here in Tennessee, but it is air-conditioned, and if the weather gets a little warmer in the next couple of days, you'll be very, very comfortable if you come out and take a look at what's going on. A lot of horse folks, Jessie, didn't know that walking horses could do anything except go around in a circle.
I know, and we'd like to get the word out there. They can do anything any other horse can do. And out here, this show will prove it to you.
Well, and that's true. And I've asked everybody else, but let me ask you, do you have a favorite event that you like to participate in?
I do. Showmanship is my absolute favorite event. A lot of people don't like it. It's sort of a tedious thing to learn, but what I love about it is it's so much on you and you and your horse working as a team. That's always been my favorite ever since I was little.
All right. Well, now you are kind of the opposite end of the scale from Mia because she likes the bowls, the poles and the barrels, and you like the showmanship. And there is a little difference in how quickly those classes go by, but it's all great to witness. And let me go back and ask Jody just a little bit about Jody. How long have you been working with your horse?
I've been working with my horse. I bought her as a 2.5-year-old, and she is 10 this year. So I've been working with her for roughly 7 years now. And, you know, we're coming along, but I'm an amateur, so I do everything my own. And as most people have, they've got other commitments in their life, their jobs, their families, and all that. So, you know, we're slower, but it's not her fault. It's mine.
All right. Well, now, you know, are these events and these types of activities something that you can just, you know, leave your horse out in the pasture for a couple of months and then get on and participate in? Or how much time does it take to work with your horse to get ready to compete? And Jesse, I'll let you answer that one.
Well, it's something that you sort of have to decide on what event you want to start to learn. And, you know, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll seek out someone that's a professional in that. We'll go take dressage lessons with a specific dressage trainer to try to master it. And it takes some time to, you know, really get good at a particular event. You know, I'd say you'd easily spend at least a year trying to master it.
So, Mia, do you work with your horse every day in the afternoons, or how much time do you spend in the saddle with your horse?
I spend a lot of time. I try and ride my horse almost every day, and if I can't, I try and ride harder another day. I just try and ride as much as I can.
All right. Well, how much time a day do you think you might spend in the saddle?
Couple hours.
Oh, wow.
Maybe two.
Wow. Well, Jody, what about you? Do you spend much time working with your horse, or?
I try to take about an hour about 5 days a week when I get home from work. But, you know, like I said, we do the best we can, and we come down here, and, you know, some days it's your day and other days it's not. But it's about an hour.
All right.
An hour, you know, 5 days a week.
All right. So do you work on a particular discipline certain times? I mean, do you spend some time working with the trail? Do you spend some days where you spend with the barrel racing and the pole bending, or how do you divide that kind of a schedule up?
Yes, sir. That's exactly it. You know, pick and choose. There's some things that, you know, can be used in all events, like the dressage principles and things like that can help you out in all of your different classes, from rail to barrels, et cetera. So there's a lot of multitasking and different exercises that you can do that will really help you out in your different classes, no matter if they're on the rail or if they're speed, et cetera.
All right. Jody, are you participating in any events today?
Yes, sir. I was in dressage this morning, the intro. We're not ready for the hard test. My memory doesn't last that long. but the good thing is, you know, and that's the other thing that's great here is you can come, and if you don't have, like, a full dressage outfit, but you have a saddle seat outfit, you can come ride in your saddle seat attire and things like that. And you also don't have to memorize the test in the intro classes. You can have somebody read it for you. So, you know, I just encourage everybody to come out and try it. But we did dressage today, and looking forward to doing the speed event and that throughout the week. And then, of course, the rail classes. So.
All right. Now, Mia, what about you? Do you have some classes or some events you're participating in today?
Yeah, I participated in the jumping today. And
all right.
The dressage youth test. And I'm going to do the barrels and poles today.
I knew you were going to say that. Well, good luck. Good luck on your poles and your barrels this afternoon. And Jesse, there is a special event that's going to close out the World Versatility Show on Saturday night. And this is a $1,500 Mana Pro jackpot class. And tell us about that.
Well, this is the first year we're doing this, and these versatility classes were really popular at a lot of our big open shows in North Carolina, so that's sort of where the idea came from. What we'll do, and it'll really showcase the versatility of the walking horse, all wrapped up in one neat package that's great for everyone to come and watch. The first event is a English three-gate rail class, and then what we'll do is everyone stays in the ring. They're allowed two helpers and 5 minutes, and they have to totally change over to Western tack so that they can ride in a Western three-gate rail class. There's another five-minute opportunity to switch, and you can choose to switch back to English or you can stay Western. And there will be a precision pattern class where they're judged on how accurately, how well they ride the particular pattern that's been provided. And there's another five-minute break where you can change to your gaming tack, and we will run Texas barrels. And all of those are placed. Each class is placed individually, just like a normal class. And then all of those placings are averaged, and we will have overall winners.
Oh, wow. Wow. So that's so what you're telling me is people are going to start out in English,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to be in the ring, and they're going to change tack and clothes, and
yes.
then compete in Western rail classes, and then they're going to have an opportunity, if they choose to change again. And
right.
So do you have, like, little mini curtains that you put up around these riders while they're changing? Because I've...
Well, you could get a friend to hold that up for you, I suppose. The trick is to plan your outfit out ahead of time. To, you know, a lot of times little tricks is if we change from English to Western, or you know, we'll have our English pants on and put our chaps right over top of those and you know, try to have a Western shirt that just zips right up and just pop your English stuff off and put your Western shirt right on top of that and slap your hat on, and you're good to go. So.
Good to go. Well, when I was telling some folks about this, they said they weren't going to come just so they could watch the clothes change, the wardrobe change. So.
It usually ends up being entertaining.
I would think so. I would think so, because you've got some helpers that are helping change tack, and then you've got folks that are changing clothes, so that should be a lot of fun. And that is on Saturday night, and that will be the final class for the show. And, again, there's a $1,500 jackpot. How is that paid out?
That is going to pay out. It's $900 to first place, and let me think of my math here. First place gets $900, and then I believe it is
they're gonna split that. they're going to split $600 between the next placings on there. So
I think it's $900, $400, and $200. That's
all right. All right, for $900, I might come over and change clothes in the middle of the ring. So
there you go.
goodness. Well, this sounds like a lot of fun. It actually will be highlighting the versatility of the Tennessee Walking Horse. There are people of all ages that get to enjoy everything from dressage to barrels and poles and rail classes and trail classes. And it's going to be a lot of fun. There's time for folks that are listening. If you're if you're in Tennessee or the surrounding states, you can make it down for the Friday and Saturday events. Again, mm-hmm. the Miller Coliseum is a beautiful facility that's heated and cooled. It's easy to get to. And
it's free.
And it's free, and you'll get to meet.
It is free.
and you'll get to meet Mia and Jody and Jesse and Linda and have a big time. So, hey, listen, guys, I want to thank you for taking time out. I know you're not able to watch the classes while you're visiting with us on the show, and of course, Jesse just ran in from competing to get in on this call. So, thanks very much, Jesse. Any kind of final thoughts that you want to share with us?
Well, we'd just like to really encourage everyone to come out and watch and, you know, see what all the walking horse can do. You know, they can do a whole lot more than just walk around in circles. And we'd just love to get some people out here in the seats. We can show them off.
All right. Mia, anything that you want to share with folks? Mia?
Yeah, just come on and join us, and you can come see all the Tennessee Walkers and see what they can do.
All right, all right. And Jody, anything you'd like to leave us with?
Just the same thing. Come on down, check it out, and, you know, you never know what you'll be interested in next.
All right, all right. Well, listen, thanks to the three of you and to Linda for joining us on the show. We'll see you at the World Versatility Show tomorrow in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And, again, that runs through Saturday the 26th. Classes start at what time, Jesse?
We start at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
All right, start at 9 o'clock, and then they'll have some evening classes and competitions that will be going on as well. So Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, for the World Versatility Show is the place to be. And, again, thanks, each of you, for joining us on the show today. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having us.
All right, thank you. Well, we've had a great time talking with these folks, and we sure want to encourage you to get out and visit the World Versatility Show. We're talking with Shannon Schreffnagel and Dawn Emerson when we come back. We're going to be talking about a horseback ministry that is illustrating how horses have a healing power for people, and we'll also find about some new things that are happening with horse trails and camping across America. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. Kristen Harris's Endless Sky, and we want to remind our listeners that beginning August the 5th on Tuesday evening, we have a new show that we'll be bringing to you called Saddle Up America, and that will be airing at 7 o'clock each Tuesday night. Our premiere show is on August the 5th, and so just a couple of weeks away, but this is a show for trail riders and people that love horses as well. But one of my trail riding buddies is on the line with us, and that's Shannon Schreffnagel with Horse Trails and Camping Across America. And Shannon, how are you doing?
Wonderful, Gary.
Good to have you. And you've introduced us to a really interesting young lady, and that's Dawn Emerson, who has Rocking Sevens Horseback Ministry. And Dawn, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well, thank you. And Shannon, you've got a couple of exciting pieces of news to share with us today. And why don't you tell us what's going on with Horse Trails and Camping Across America?
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, we've had some changes as to where the headquarters, quote-unquote, of HGCAA is going to reside. So very soon, hopefully within the next month, I'll be living out in the Black Hills on the Wyoming side. And so actually today on Facebook, with our group on Facebook, we've been talking about the Black Hills and all sorts of great places to ride and the neat history out there. And so with that, hopefully next year in May for our second annual official ride, we'll be holding out in the Black Hills.
Oh, wow.
So I've got people, yeah, I've already got people excited about that one. And so I think we're going to have a good turnout for next year. And I'm looking forward to it since it'll be in my backyard.
A little closer to home than the first one was.
Yes, a little closer to home. So so which will be nice. I'll be in the area to be able to get the planning and all that stuff done. So so I'm really looking forward to that. And let's see here. What else? My goodness. Well, we're almost at 32,000 members. I think the last time I talked with you, we were just approaching 27,000, I think. So we just keep on growing and growing and growing. Certainly doesn't slow down, that's for sure. And
that's great.
Yeah, man, it's been exciting with so many new people coming on and just seeing all the awesome places to ride around the country. Every day is just a fun day. I have other things to do besides, you know, HTCAA, but it's hard to step away from it. Hard to step away from it when we've got so much exciting stuff always on there every day. But the other exciting thing that's coming up very soon, and I'm going to start working on plans on that this week, is our next ride that we're going to have, not the official ride, but the HTCAA ride, is actually going to be our HTCAA national ride over the weekend of September 11th through the 14th. And this one's going to be a little bit different than our official ride because it's what we're trying to encourage on this one is what we want is all of our members to be out riding that weekend, no matter where it's at. We want them to let us know where they're going to be riding. We would love to have them meet up with other members in their area or invite other people to meet with them. If they don't have someone to ride with, we'd love to hear where they live or where they'd want to ride and see if we can hook them up with some members in that area. But that's what we want to do is get all of our members out over that weekend. It doesn't have to be the full 4 days. It could be just a day, whatever the case may be. But with that weekend, we're kind of going with the saying of let's celebrate the freedom of a great nation by having all our HTCA members riding from sea to shining sea. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for people to get out there and meet new people, maybe hit some new trails or share their favorite trails, and just have a fun time. It doesn't have to be planned, organized rides. You know, just show up with your horse. If you're going to stay overnight, bring some food and maybe bring, you know, if you can sing or play a guitar or whatever, make sure you've got a campfire going. And that's what we want to encourage on that weekend. And I'm really excited to see what kind of participation we're going to get on that because that one, you don't have to worry about where the ride's going to be at. You can do it in your backyard if you can't go anywhere. So
there you go.
So we're looking forward to that.
Well, for folks that may be listening, we've been really tickled to have Horse Trails and Camped Across America and Shannon on the show since September, almost a year. And, visiting with us every month, keep us up to date with what's going on. I think you were under 5,000 members when we first started talking with you. And
yes,
it's been fun to watch this grow. But for folks that may not be familiar with Horse Trails and Camping Across America, this is a Facebook page that you started not that long ago. And, and what's the purpose for that?
Well, as I've always said, I started it for complete selfish reasons. I just wanted to meet some people across the country and find new places to ride. And I never in my wildest dreams thought it would turn into what it is now. So when I started it, I didn't have an agenda. Like I said, just wanted to meet some people and be able to see pictures. You know, that was a big thing, too. You know, when you go to websites and stuff to find places to ride, it's really hard to get a feel on a lot of websites of what the area is like and, you know, if it really is a great place to go. So apparently I wasn't the only one looking for that information because I was excited when we hit 500 members and it just kept growing. And, yeah, on our first anniversary, our one-year anniversary last year in August, we had just approached 7,000. And it's not even a year later, and we are almost to 32,000. So a huge influx of people. We've got members all over. We do sell decals with our logo on it, and I've sold decals in every single state, including Alaska and Hawaii. So that's been really neat to actually see how people really love to participate. It's not just a Facebook group, but it's becoming common to be out on the trails and meeting other people that you've met on Facebook face-to-face on the trails.
Right.
So it's just neat to see how many members we have in so many states. So that's kind of the focus of what I started with was just to be able to find places to ride, to share those photos, talk about the trails, and now it's obviously grown into something huge. So we are working on the website. Obviously, with this move, it put a lot of things on the back burner because I obviously have to figure out where my headquarters is going to be before I can work on a website. So with that, it did slow things down. We were at high speed up until May. And then when this came about, I just pretty much had to put on the brakes at the moment. But with that said, HTCAA hasn't slowed down one bit. We have continued to just keep, growing and growing and growing. So even though, you know, the website slowed down a little bit, we're still on track because as soon as I get my feet on the ground where I'm supposed to be living, we're going to be back at it full force and get it out the door. So that's some exciting stuff. I am really hoping we can get that done by the end of the year. But as always, every time we've had a setback or a slowdown with figuring out what we're going to do with the website, it always comes out, you know, God certainly watches over me because every time we find out better things of what to do on the website, of the better direction. So I'm not, some people say, oh, you must get pretty anxious. And I'm going, you know, I'm not because every time I take a step back, I find something better. So when this thing gets unleashed, people are going to be floored at what they're going to see on that website. So I am thoroughly excited, and I can't wait to get it going, but it's fun to be able to play on Facebook and meet so many people face-to-face right now anyhow.
Well, it's been great. You can visit Horse Trails and Camping Across America on Facebook. You can go to our website, to our homepage, and we have a link there to the Horse Trails and Camping Across America Facebook page. So easy to find them. And our website is equestrianlegacy.net. A lot of great photographs of things all across the country and some good information. And one of the things that I think really has attracted people to your Facebook page is the fact that you and your posse have done a great job of keeping things very positive. And so not a lot of negative stuff that you'll find there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you have met a lot of great people through the Facebook page.
Man.
And
absolutely.
one of those is the young lady that's joining us today. And why don't you introduce Dawn to us?
Oh, I would love to. Dawn and I met on Facebook right before I actually started HTCA. We met through another similar group that's the reason we connected is because of her ministry and the interest that I have also in ministry with horses for people. So we met up on there, and we ended up hitting it off like I've never hit it off with anybody before. Wonderful woman. She is just absolutely one of the neatest people I've ever met. And Dawn, don't start crying. but she truly is an amazing woman, and I am honored to have her as a friend. But then to getting to hear her life story of how horses were such an impact, horses in her faith, but horses were such a changing point in her life, and how she took that, such a sordid past, and she took that past and then the blessing of the horses in her life and took it to bless others. And she has made amazing transformations with other people that she's met through her ministry. So I was more than happy to have her on today, because even though it might not be totally trail related, all of us trail riders can relate how horses are healing to us, no matter what. When you're out on the trails or when you're in the barn just petting your horse, grooming your horse, when you've had a bad day, there's nothing like getting out there with your horse and just having that one-on-one time with an animal that understands you, but yet there's no language between the two of you. So with that, I was very happy to get Dawn on here today and tell us about her ministry.
Well, Dawn, welcome to the show. And, you know, it was fun to talk with you yesterday, even though we kept dropping calls. I understand you now have put nails in your boots so that you are in one spot. Yeah. Well, welcome.
I'm actually still sitting in my truck, but I'm in one spot. I'm not moving. It's not even on.
Oh, goodness. Well, welcome to the show. And it was such a joy to talk with you yesterday and to find out about your personal story and how you have been able to develop a ministry through your Rocking Sevens horseback ministry. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how this got started?
All right. Thank you. And Shannon, yes, I did start to cry, but I'm composed. I was born to a 15-year-old woman, girl, and unfortunately she didn't have the ability to care for a baby. So I was bounced around a lot. And then when I was 10, I ended up in a foster home, and that just escalated. I had a lot of bad stepdads, so a lot of bad things. And without getting into full detail, everybody has gone through something. Sometimes it's worse for somebody else, but no matter what the storm somebody's going through, it's still their storm. So it has an adverse effect on that person. So I started realizing that even though all this bad stuff had happened to me, I'd met so many more people that have been through so much worse things than I did, so it didn't seem so bad. But at the age of 12, I was adopted by my step-grandparents who lived in Iowa, and the first thing she did that winter that she adopted me is she took me out to a family member's ranch, and she had quite a few horses, and my grandmother looked at me, and I was real shy still, had my hair all hanging in my face, and she looked at me, and she said, pick one. And I'm like, pick one what? You know, she's like, pick a horse. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 12. This is a dream come true after especially where I've been pulled out of. I was in California and, you know, definitely on a path of destruction. And I'm like, really, really? And I start crying, and I look back, and I see this poor old mare sitting in the back with coffle burrs for a mane and, you know, her forelock, and she's got one blue eye, one brown eye, and she's ragged and shaggy and just a mess. And then, you know, there's young horses and all these other horses around, and I don't know, I just kind of migrated toward this horse, and, you know, she kind of migrated towards me, and the minute she put her head right in my chest, I knew that was the one I was supposed to pick. So
oh, wow.
I picked this old blue mare out of all these horses, and everybody's like, that one? And I'm like, yeah, this one. And she taught me how to be strong. She taught me how not to be afraid. She loved me, and she had no issues about how she loved me. It wasn't, I didn't have to earn it. I didn't have to work for it. It was unconditional. And through that, my confidence started to build. My hair started to get out of my face. I started to go to small rodeos. I joined a trail group. I was out talking to people and, you know, being out in the woods with people, which was something I never thought I would do. And so it just escalated from there.
Wow.
And then
wow.
It was 2009. My husband and I had just lost everything we owned. And I was sick from the situation we were in. And so I was getting better. I was in a new place. We were trying to get our lives back on track. And I kept having these dreams about these rocking sevens. And so one night, August of 2009, I woke up in the middle of the night and I drew what I saw in the three sevens that were rocking. And I found out that the three sevens actually represented the number of completion, and meaning that it's come full circle. It's time to see what this whole thing was all about. And so people kept telling me, Dawn, with all the experience you've had with horses and, you know, all your life, you need to do something. So I started paying note to that. And I didn't have any horses at the time. I'd actually not had horses for about 15 years.
Right.
And I thought, oh, to get horses again, are you kidding? That would be great. I'd love that. So I asked God to give me a black and white paint horse, and I pretend like I had a gypsy banner because, you know, I wanted a gypsy, but they were too expensive. Like, mm-hmm. God has an economy issue. So the funny thing about God is when I heard Rockin' Sevens Horseback Ministry, right after I heard Encouragement to Ride Through Life's Storm, that he was going to help me to be an encouragement to other people through a horse. And I was like, wow, okay. Well, long story short, the very first horse we ever got was a black and white gypsy vanner named Stormy. And I laughed for days after that. I'm like, God, you've got the most amazing sense of humor. Thank you. She was only given a 30% chance to live. She was in an extremely abusive situation. Her diet needs were not being met. Her water needs were not being met. She had viral infections throughout the inside of her body and the outside of her body. But now that little girl is 6 years old, and everybody just refers to her as Fat Cakes because she is actually very plump and healthy now. But we just opened up our ranch. We actually opened our doors June of 2010. And we had, you know, one person at a time, and then we kind of started opening our home to church groups and Bible groups and people that were just looking for a place to get away from the monotony of life and just be able to be still and enjoy what God has given us. So we don't charge anything. We never have, and we never plan on doing so. It's an absolutely free ministry to anyone. We've had people travel from other states. We've had people come from our own backyard. And there's no age limits. There's no limits on anything. We've seen cancer patients. We've seen some win their battle with the cancer. And unfortunately, we've seen some lose their battle in cancer. But we know where they're at, and we know we'll see them again.
Well, we want to, Don, we want to talk just a little bit about how your ministry actually works, but okay. When I was preparing for the show today, there was a song that came to mind, and I don't want you crying during this song, but...
Don't make me cry.
We're going to talk a little bit about how your ministry works and how horses' lives and people's lives are kind of parallel. But we want to listen to a song right now called Guardian Angel by Kristen Harris. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're talking with Shannon Schreffnagel, and very pleased to have joining us today, Dawn Emerson. And we'll be right back to talk with them some more.
Over mountains, followed the river, nothing.
It's Kristen Harris's Guardian Angel, and when I was getting ready for the show, it just seemed like it was an appropriate song, because I think that you told me, Don, that a lot of the horses that you work with are rescue horses.
They are, all but one.
And how does your program work?
Well, we have we rescued two of them June of 2010, and I was actually contacted by a gypsy breeder in Texas, and she had asked me if I would give a home to this little gypsy named Stormy, and then also if I would take the quarter horse that at that time they called Penny. And I said, well, you know, I shouldn't take two, but we decided to take her, and she came with a little surprise. And then in July, Lady Jane came, and what we've done with these horses is we've done like what God's done with us, encourage them, love on them, and just get them through what they're going through, that they may be healthy. And when you look at these horses now, you'd never know in a million years that they've been beat. Now, Copper, you would. Penny is no longer Penny. She's Copper Girl now, and she's got scars all over her body from missing an eyelid to being impaled in her chest. She walks with a limp. She tends to drag her one leg, but all the vets tell me, let her go, keep her going. She's happy. She's loving life. She has whip marks from the middle of her back all the way back down her legs. I mean, she's been through a lot, but it's wild. You'll know when somebody comes to our ranch that has dealt with abuse, because they always seem to migrate towards her, and she always seems to migrate towards them. So what we do is people come, and we just let it happen. We don't keep an agenda of any kind. We found that that just doesn't work, or we're doing it ourselves. We're no longer allowing God to do this. So they come, we'll brush horses, or we'll, you know, feed them, or even sometimes work the pasture, you know, cleaning it up, making it better for the horses. And then sometimes we do ride. I had one girl that's all she wanted to do is just ride, and it helped her. She was battling with bipolar disorder, and within 13 to 16 months of her riding, they've actually got to reduce most of her medication that she was on at that time. So it kind of depends on what that person needs. That's what happened.
Well, and again, you started this ministry in, what, 2010?
Yep, 2010, June of 2010, when the first two horses arrived. We started that day. They were already ministering to people.
And I think it was amazing. We talked a little bit yesterday about the number of people that have come through your program, and I think you said it was close to 500 folks just in the last 4 years.
This year's been really slow because we had to move last September, so we're in a really small area, very low population, so it's taking some time to get people back to knowing where we're at. But in the years previous, we've done just about 500 people have come through our ranch, and most of them are about one at a time. But we have had groups. We had 22 people come and stay 3 days with us. So
wow.
That was different, but it was wonderful.
And I'm sure after having this many people that have come through your program, you probably have one or two success stories that maybe are more dear to you that kind of come to mind.
Yeah, there was a young lady when she first started coming. She was very afraid of everything. She unfortunately was in a sexual molestation that had happened to her at a very young age and then happened to her again a few years before she came. And so when she first started to come, all she would do is stand by the edge of the wall. And you could tell she wanted to approach the horses, but she was so afraid of being hurt. So we didn't force her to do anything. We just talked standing around one of the horses in a cross tie. And then slowly her second visit, she came and she started to touch the horse and started to brush the horse.
And then within a few months, I have pictures of her actually sitting on a horse with her hands straight up into the heavens and her eyes just looking straight up with this most beautiful smile on her face.
Wow.
And, you know, just getting to watch her blossom and not be afraid of everything, that was amazing.
Wow.
I have one friend of mine who came. She was battling double breast cancer. And at that time, the one that was born with us, Ty, his name is actually Tetelestai, but we just call him Ty because it's so much easier.
Right.
But he was just a baby at the time, and she was just finishing her chemo treatments, and she was in the stall, and he lay down beside her and had his head in her lap, and she had told me later that it was as if when he was laying there, it was God telling her, everything's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. And sure enough, she has survived. She's doing wonderful. She is cancer-free. So Rockin' Sevens was there through that. And, gosh, there's so many stories running through my head. I don't want to run away. But I've seen people come in maybe that they're battling with loneliness and they don't think they have anybody that loves them. So I share with them, it doesn't matter if you don't think that anybody on this planet loves you. God loves you. If he's the only one that loves you, who can be against you? And once they start to realize that God is real and tangible, if we can just share that with him, you know, with the people that come through, they get to experience him in the way that the horses love them. And you do see a change. Sometimes it takes a few visits. And sometimes it takes 20 minutes. I have a little 2-year-old girl that's coming. She comes about every other week. And then I have a 69-year-old lady that comes about once a month. And both very different backgrounds, but both very hurt people. And each time they leave with a smile. And
wow.
Because right now, the only reason I'm here in Tennessee, in the mountains of Tennessee right now, is just for these two people. That's fine for me.
Well, that's great. Now, I want to ask you a question that may be hard for you to answer. It might not be. But, Dawn, how has this ministry affected and changed your life?
It's definitely taken the focus off myself and being a me person. I have changed so much. I've watched my heart become way more tender. I don't think I've ever been so selfless in my whole life. It's so amazing that my son, who's 25 years old and lives in Montana, has watched this change so much that he told me last November, he said, Mom, I'm ready to become a Christian now. He said, because just watching you, there's no way that you could have changed yourself this much. He was like, this is definitely a God thing. So I was honored enough to say the salvation prayer with my own son. And it made me realize I've gotten a huge trust in God, even more so, because there's been times where I'm like, oh, how are we going to feed these horses? You know, how are we going to get by? And then God will gently remind me, do you trust me? And I'm like, yeah, I do. I do trust you. And he showed up every single time in this move. And, you know, the needs of these horses and what to do when people come. So I would definitely say the biggest change in me is my faith and belief that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that I could hope, ask, or think for.
Well, Dawn, thank you for sharing that, and thanks for sharing your faith. Sometimes that's not an easy thing for people to do, and we appreciate that. Let's talk a bit about the fact that, again, these people that come and become part of the ministry as you're reaching out to them through the healing power of horses and what they do for them and what these folks do for the horses, there is no cost. There is no charge to these people for doing that.
Never.
So if and I know that right now you have a fundraiser that's going on I want to find out how people can contact you, how they might be able to help support this cause, and tell us what the fundraiser is for and how people can get involved in that.
Thank you, Gary. The fundraiser is called Raise the Roof for the Hoof. And what it is we're trying to raise, I know, it's clever, right?
It's clever.
We're trying to raise funds for the horses for a shelter to get them out of the elements. The 3 years previous to this, well, up until September of last year, they've always had a barn to go into and, you know, get them out of the hailstorms or the winter months. And right now they just don't have that. Last winter we did pretty good. We weren't too far into having such a bad winter. We had blankets for them. But when you have geriatric horses like we do, it's just not enough. They have to have a shelter. So we're doing a fundraiser right now that we're kicking off. We're asking people, you know, what's on their heart to give a donation. We're also trying to put together an auction, hopefully by the end of October, to have this auction to help get the rest of the money that we need. And they can contact us through Facebook, either at Rocking Sevens Horseback Ministry, or they can reach us on our website at www.rocking37.org. And if they have any other questions, they can also contact me on my personal page at Dawn Rocking Sevens Horseback Ministry.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, we want to encourage people to do that, and that's rocking777s.org is the website, and then the Facebook page is Rocking Sevens Horseback Ministry, and Dawn's personal page, which she calls Dawn Rocking Sevens Horseback Ministry as well. So, Dawn, I want to thank you for sharing with us. We want to thank you for what you're doing to help heal people's lives through the use of horses and what you're doing for these horses as well, because I know everyone is enriched by that. And thank you for taking the time to join us, and thanks for sitting in the truck so you had good cell service for the show. So that's
thank
pretty
you, Gary.
Cool. Hey, thank you. And you stayed still. So, you know, that's a pretty good thing. And Shannon, thank you for being back on and sharing with us and introducing us to Dawn. And we encourage people again to go and visit Horse Trails and Camping Across America on their Facebook page. There's also a link to that page on our homepage at equestrianlegacy.net. And ladies, thanks for taking the time, and thanks for listening in to the last part of that second segment. So I hope you enjoyed that as well. Look forward to talking with both of you soon. And thanks again, Dawn. Thank you. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we have enjoyed talking with Dawn Emerson and Shannon Schreffnagel and having them share with us. It was a lot of fun talking with the folks over at the World Versatility Show in Murfreesboro, Tennessee at the Miller Coliseum. So if you're anywhere in the area that you can make that event, please put that on your schedule and get over there and see these young folks and some older folks, too, competing in the different events that they have going on over there as well. We want to remind you again that beginning August the 5th on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., we'll be introducing a new show for trail riders called Saddle Up America. And co-hosting that show with me will be Tina Mae Weber. We've got some great guests that are lined up for that show. We'll be talking with Robert Trailmeister, who will be visiting with us to talk about trail tips and share his knowledge with us. And we also will be visiting the Seven Springs Lodge in Alabama. And we'll find out why they call the Rattlesnake Saloon the Rattlesnake Saloon. So we've enjoyed having you on the show. Again, we want to thank our great sponsors that you'll find at the General Store and at the gallery east of Santa Fe at our website on equestrianlegacy.net. As always, thanks for listening to the show. We remind you that if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.
You're the drive that keeps me driving when the road gets way too long. and it's your will that keeps me willing when my heart just can't go on. When life is filled with uphill climbs, winding roads and detour signs, you're the one that helps me find my way back home. Back home. Back home. You're the song that keeps me singing when it feels like my soul is losing ground. And it's your smile that keeps me smiling when all my troubles turn me upside down. When life is filled with uphill climbs, winding roads and detour signs, you're the one that helps me find my way back home. Back home. Back home. When life is filled with uphill climbs, winding roads and detour signs, you're the one that helps me find my way back home. Back home. Back home.